This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Vice President Harris at the Munich Security Conference tells Ukrainian President Zelensky Congress supports more aid to Ukraine, even though legislation to provide that aid has been stalled.
You have the support of bipartisan majorities in both houses of the United States Congress. So as we move forward, the President and I, President Biden and I, will continue to work to secure the resources and weapons that you need to succeed. We will also continue to support your efforts to secure a just and lasting peace.
Alexei Navalny's spokeswoman confirms Russia's most prominent opposition leader has died.
The employees of the prison gave to his mother an official message that Alexei died yesterday on 16th of February at 2:17 p.m. local time.
Kira Yarmish says the family is demanding Russian authorities immediately return the body. Navalny, who was 47, reportedly fell unconscious and died yesterday at the penal colony, where he was serving a three-decade sentence. Former President Trump and his companies have been ordered to pay more than $350 million in penalties in a civil fraud trial in New York. CBS's Astrid Martinez has more.
The stiff penalty is a victory for New York Attorney General Letitia James.
The court once again ruled in our favor and in favor of every hardworking American who plays by the rules.
Trump will not have to pay the penalty while he appeals the decision.
The verdict comes after a judge ruled that Trump and his associates inflated his wealth to defraud banks. One firefighter has been killed, nine others injured when an explosion in a Washington, D.C. suburb leveled a home where they were investigating a gas leak. This man is a neighbor.
An explosion, loud boom. The whole house shook immediately. And the second it happened, I knew instantly that something was wrong. I had actually walked my dog earlier and literally circled that house, and it smelled a lot of gas.
Two civilians were also injured in that blast in Sterling, Virginia. He was once the top FBI counterintelligence officer in New York. Now Charles McGonigal is a felon heading to prison.
Charles McGonigal was sentenced in Washington Friday to 28 months in prison for hiding at least $225,000 in secret cash payments from a former Albanian intelligence official. That's in addition to the 50-month sentence he got last year for illegally conspiring with a Russian billionaire who had ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. The billionaire wanted to get off a U.S. sanctions list. The Washington Post says the 55-year-old McGonigal is one of the highest-ranking FBI agents ever convicted of a crime.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Converting livestock waste into renewable energy may seem like a good idea at first blush, but digesters cause problems that advocates say need to be addressed. More from Mike Mohn.
Anaerobic digesters create biogas by removing methane from livestock waste. The gas can then be used for electricity, heat, or vehicle fuel. Supporters say the process limits methane from reaching the atmosphere. The USDA's REAP program helps fund these projects on farms in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Andy Olson with the Environmental Law and Policy Center says the jury's still out on the effectiveness of digesters, and he urges the USDA to keep science in mind.
There's how things work on paper, and then there's how things work on the ground. And there's a lot of space in between the two.
Olson says the industry still needs to overcome challenges like methane leaks. Skeptics of this technology say, among other things, federal funding incentivizes farms to expand their operations, creating more nuisance issues for surrounding communities. Still, Olson says the industry should be given time to address the shortcomings. REAP, which stands for Rural Energy for America program, also funds wind and solar projects on farm sites. Olson notes there's been added support from the Inflation Reduction Act to expand outreach and technical assistance as a way to boost interest.
So I'm hoping to see a lot more good energy efficiency projects from them, which is the number one place we should be starting.
Olson says improvements to grain dryers that can help reduce natural gas use and harvesting are another example of energy efficiency efforts. As for digesters, a report from the Wisconsin Office of Energy Innovation says there are 136 operating systems around the state, 34 tied to agriculture. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alba, Monday noon to 3. Could you go all day without looking at your cell phone? We'll discuss on the Civic Media Ready Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny skies today, high temps near 30 degrees. Winds will gust out of the west at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, still breezy, clear skies, 25. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday, breezy once again. For Monday, mostly sunny, 43.
Right now, it's 15.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Danielle's right by my side. You're hearing us throughout the great state of Wisconsin in every major market. There is nowhere you go in the state of Wisconsin you cannot listen to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media station. Civic Media. Danielle, you're
Joel?
Better. You are better.
What?
With the social media stuff. Where else can they listen?
Oh, you can listen to it on the Civic Media app. You can listen to it on Spotify. Just look for Raised in Wisco. We're also on Apple and Facebook.
And
we
Facebook,
will be,
yes.
Not
we're
going to
start
though.
Doing Facebook Live on Thursday nights. And we hope you'll join us for that. But we're just really excited because Civic Media has really launched a storm in the state of Wisconsin. We're in Eau Claire, in the Madison Market, Waukesha, Wausau, Richland Center, all over the state, wherever you are. Look up your Civic Media station and tune in. We're in Hayward. Did you know that?
Hey.
Hey.
Word.
Hey. Word. That's word.
Oh my.
Okay. This is the part of the hunting season that I have to be perfectly honest, drives me absolutely batty. Now,
well, that there's raining in February? It's storms.
Well,
lightning.
There was a tornado in Sullivan today. Did you know that? Today.
What was happening?
I was on my way here and a friend called and said, are you safe? And I said, why? Yes. There's a tornado in Sullivan and Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin tonight.
Jeez.
It is the first recorded touchdown of a tornado in the state of Wisconsin ever in the month of February.
Have you seen my favorite movie, Age of Adeline?
No.
So Age of Adeline is Blake Lively and she is driving down the road and it starts snowing. It's Christmas. So it starts snowing. And then it starts raining and lightning. And then she goes into the pond and the lightning strikes and she gets.
I did see Age of Adeline. It was
I feel like
awesome
we're living
movie.
In Age of Adeline right now. Maybe
it is.
Maybe I'll get struck by lightning and never
there's
age.
There's no doubt. It is a little bit of a bizarre world right now. So we were live last week and
last
I was bobcat week. Hunting in Clam Lake, Wisconsin.
You were. This
and
is a very exciting story.
I'm so excited. I got a bobcat.
I saw the pictures.
A bobcat, and then the question everybody asks me, and I'm interested to see Anya's reaction to it. We ate the bobcat. She gave me a thumbs up. I'll take it.
We're slowly growing on her. Do you know that?
Well, I don't know. I hope so. She does a great job for us. Anya, thank you so much. All the changes that are going on in Civic Media has kept you very busy, and you have really done a great job for Raising Wisco, and Danielle and I certainly appreciate that. And I want to tell you, so I'm excited. I'm kind of putting it off a little bit because we've got a guest in the studio who literally epitomizes hunting and fishing in the state of Wisconsin with All the things. So we're really excited. Mike Keller is going to be joining us soon from Foul Dogs Outfitters. I mean, he outfits long tails on Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. He outfits fishing charters on Lake Michigan. The guy travels the country with Brian Klein, Klein Outdoors, who has been an incredibly successful in the outdoor industry. A guy I've looked up to who is actually was one of the first people to ever take me hunting and go hunting with me ages ago.
Aww.
He does not reckon. We're going to get into the fact that he will not reconcile with me or himself that I am leery of going out and on a layout boat. I'm not going to let him talk yet because I'm going to put what I'm trying to say out there. I got very seasick on a boat one time, so I'm a little leery, but I've gone back out salmon fishing.
Okay.
Now, I know you do all this.
Yes, you salmon do all fishing, you stuff. Go out a lot farther than you do for layout boat duck hunting. Duck hunting.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like if you're closer to shore, it's not going to be as choppy and it's really not that wavy. Unless you pick
and
the
I feel
about.
Like it's supposed to be that, and I'm going to get in my life to the point where I do take the chance and try layout boat hunting.
And then
because I really
afterwards.
Would love to hunt some of those beautiful sea ducks and some of the bluebills and that old squaw that are out there. So, and it's really a matter of if you're going to be an adventure person, you have to take some risks for that adventure sometimes. But I want to tell you, I spent 12 days in Clam Lake, Wisconsin, the Shawamagon Forest this year. 12 days. And we hunted bobcats real hard. And you know what we saw? When you're out looking for tracks in the morning to drop dogs, you know what you see more than anything? Tracks. Take a guess what tracks you see up there. We
coyotes.
Saw 23 different species tracks.
Turkeys.
Nope, not turkeys, not coyotes. Wolves.
Wolves?
Wolves.
Oh,
we
man.
Saw wolf everywhere. Tracks absolutely everywhere.
Did you
I fervently believe
see
the DNR has no idea how many wolves we have in
the
state.
I don't think anybody has any idea because we hunted probably in what was maybe a 100 square mile area of the Shawamagon Forest, which is a fairly small area when you talk about all of northern Wisconsin. And we saw thousands of wolf tracks. We had snow overnight, so we know in the morning when we're looking for bobcat tracks, we know what is a fresh track because it snowed the night before, and every day we saw hundreds of wolf tracks every day.
Did you hear them howling
at night? We did one time hear them howling. One of the groups that was out there with us actually saw a wolf standing in the middle of the road.
Ooh.
That was... I mean, it is a surreal feeling when you're walking into the Shawamagon National Forest and there's wolf tracks on the ground because they're around and they're so wily and they can be aggressive. It was just amazing to me. We did not see many deer tracks.
Smartest predator in the world.
Yeah, they're the apex predator that is so intelligent.
I've only seen one that was when I was in Wyoming, and it was standing right on the creek bank too. And it just looks so majestic.
Oh,
and then like 2 miles
no
on the road,
question,
I saw a bunch of moose.
Crazy
stuff,
sister.
Like,
they are
my sister
animals.
Got bit by a wolf when we were kids.
What?
Got bit
how do
by
you get,
a wolf?
So
how?
We were in Colorado.
Okay, Mike Keller's. I'm going to have him talk right now because I'll be honest. We'll get into the layout boat hunting and he can make fun of me later.
No.
I want to know how on earth your sister got bit
by a wolf.
We went
to visit my mom in Colorado. Her friend was the wolf rescue operator.
Okay.
So we went and visited the wolves. And
you mean at the rescue?
At the rescue.
Not like visiting.
And they were penned in and everything.
Like, can I pet that dog?
But my sister decided that it'd be a good idea to stick her hand in there, like any other kid.
Oh,
sure. And because they look like
puppies. They're giant dogs.
They do.
Right. It's a giant husky. And so she stuck her hand in there and got bit by a wolf.
Oh, this is very exciting.
So yeah,
did
she's
you
the only person I know. No, they were all like. You know,
they
well taken care
probably
of. Yeah, they're all vetted and taken care of. And I mean, this is basically like a playground for wolves. I mean, it was like wolf daycare.
Well, I have to tell you, the Shawamagon National Forest has become a playground for wolves up north. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's why there's no deer.
It's, well, that is definitely that they are contributing to, they eat their carnivores.
That's not scientific fact. That's my personal opinion, but I believe that has contributed to why our deer herd is so low.
There are many predators that will affect many different populations up there. And the fact of the matter, we saw so many cool tracks, ermine. And Fisher
Bear.
And Pine Martin and elk tracks, coyote tracks.
That's awesome.
Timber wolves, yes. Just the list goes on. It was incredible because when you're trying to decipher a bobcat track, they look actually very similar to coyote tracks, except they're a little more round.
Yeah.
And then you try to decide what size bobcat made that track to see if you're going to put dogs out. I mean, there's a very ethical component to it as well, because you don't want to kill a young bobcat. You're aiming for the older bobcats.
That makes sense.
And predator control is very important. And that's why in the state of Wisconsin, we so very carefully monitor the populations of these animals. So with 2 days left that I could remain up there after dropping, you know, dogs 9 times and hunting for 12 days, finally this dog got on a track, and telepathically my friend who knows this kind of hunting said, if there is a cat there and that cat gets onto that creek bed, you know, that cat's going to be ahead of the dog. Go down in the woods, watch the creek bed and just pan, you know, left and right.
Yeah.
He said, keep your gun in your hands because you'll never have time to pull it off your shoulder in time. And it came around the creek bed sure as heck. And that's when I harvested it. And I jumped around so much. I just I just about threw up. I was breathing so heavy at that time. I felt like I just ran a marathon.
Oh, wow.
And I was finally successful. And you know me. So I believe in eating what I kill. So we made bobcat tenderloin in a strawberry soy sauce compote.
Strawberry? I feel like
that was probably pretty good.
It was excellent. I'm not even joking. Would you try that, Anya? Anya would try it. Anya just said she'd even try it.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
It tasted very much like pork tenderloin. Ooh. That's what it tasted like. It was not, there was not any whatsoever foul taste to it or gamey taste. Now, a lot of people eat mouth.
Didn't taste like kitten at all.
Keller.
That's mean. Mike. That is one of the nice things about having Mike Keller on the show. You never know what he's
going to say. You never know what I'm going
to
say.
You never know what he's going to say, and he's definitely not afraid to take it right to you, which is right. One of the reasons I'm a little fearful to hang around.
So who came up with the recipe for the strawberry?
Well, I did.
Well, that was all you. Did you just Google this stuff? How did you find these things?
Did you just make it up, or did you say, hey, I had this with something else?
I'll be honest with you. Earlier in the day, we were up there, and there aren't a lot of gas stations or marketplaces up there. But earlier in the day, I had seen, like, fresh, you know, Verona or something, strawberry preserves. I had seen them on the shelf of a gas station or something, and I thought, oh, I want to use the word compote in what I'm making. So maybe I'll make a strawberry compote. So we did. We bought fresh strawberries from the store, reduced them in water, added sugar, and then we added soy sauce to it until it was thick. And then we put a little cornstarch slurry in there, and that thickened it just enough to where we were, you know, we made a strawberry compote, a strawberry soy sauce compote. And then we broiled the tenderloin, and it was absolutely delicious. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so excited for that.
We got to go to break right away. Oh. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. When we come back, Mike Keller of Foul Dogs Outfitters is joining us, and he's going to talk all about his adventures across the country. We'll be right back on your Civic Media station.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It worked for me. We're going to talk, and Danielle, please, because you...
Me?
You, Mike Keller is here from Foul Dogs Outfitters, and I think, you know, he's really one of the only people in the state who I know of who actually does layout boat hunting for ducks.
Yep.
And in Wisconsin, it's so unbelievable. You can field duck hunt mallards,
yes, you can.
Wood ducks, mourning doves. You can sea duck hunt here because we've got the Great Lakes and we get sea ducks, long tails, or as they're better known as old squaws, or maybe
so beautiful.
Better. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Bluebills, redheads, cans, canvasbacks. And Mike Keller not only does duck hunting on layout boats, he's one of the premier salmon fishing outfitters on the Great Lakes as well. But the reason I said Danielle is because you hunt and fish with him.
I do all the time.
You do all the stuff, like the craziest forms of hunting and fishing there is. You are not afraid of it. Mike Keller, welcome to the show. Great to see you. I've known you for over a decade.
It's been fun.
We have hunted together throughout the years. Not as much
actually,
lately.
Charlie's birthday was yesterday.
Wow. Oh,
and
happy birthday, Charlie.
He was reminiscing with me yesterday about the picture that I have of him at 8 and you, because now... Well, like you said, 10 years. He turned 17.
Wow.
He was 8 years old, and you and him are standing there holding a goose together.
Aww. That's really neat.
That was when you were a young lad, too, when you first started hunting geese.
When I was a young lad, he says, yeah, in 10 years.
You still are a young lad.
10 years ago, I was a young lad.
In the goose hunting world, you were then.
No, everybody knows I came to hunting late.
You did great.
Yeah.
You learned it good, though. You're doing great.
I quit drinking, so I became a little obsessed with hunting.
Right, right.
But Danielle, you probably hunt and fish with Mike more than I do.
Yes.
But we still do get together from time to time. I have to tell you, Mike, I don't know if you know this, one of the first band I ever got was on a hunt with you and John Whitmore.
Right, I remember.
It was the first band I ever shot. And back then when I started hunting, I did not necessarily realize there was this big prize with bands.
Yeah.
I think new hunters kind of, they know about it, some of them, but they don't really know. And man, some of those early hunts we had, they were so incredible because they were, a lot of them were standing corn hunts. And we, you know, we hunted with
that one band that was 13. One hunt that was 13 bands.
13 bands we got.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the funniest part.
And
about
if we would have shot better, we would have probably had 30 bands.
Wow.
To be honest.
Wow.
That hunt was an awesome hunt. But we had some novice shooters, and we let some birds get out of the hole. And had they not, we would have really done an epic band hunt.
Nice.
But it was
I mean,
we had a 6-man limit with 13 bands. How do you beat that?
Yeah, I still have not even had a band yet. One day I'll still get a band, but
the
time has not come.
No, we had.
It was six or seven guys.
Seven guys. And you know how I know that, Mike?
I remember, yeah.
Lucky
there
number
was
seven?
14, like 15 bands, actually. Like 13 bands, and everybody got two but me.
Everyone
and it was my
got two bands except Mike.
Oh,
and
Mike.
It was my hunt.
Mike.
Like, my permission, my field, my everything. I set it up. I got
he
there.
He set the whole thing up.
I got there
and
super early.
And he held the straws that we drew.
Right?
He held them. Oh, and the shortest straw was in his hand at the end.
I was like, that's great.
Out of all people.
I honestly felt bad. In fact, everybody felt bad. He set the hunt up. It was in this real spot, tucked way back. Nobody could scout it from. It was just the most, sincerely, one of the most memorable, beautiful hunts I've ever had in my life. They were finishing in the hole. It was unbelievable. And we get to the end, and everyone's got their band, and they're all just like, oh, sorry, Mike, as we all scurry to our car with our two bands.
Okay, bye.
Well, because the thing
thank
is,
you. Bye.
Well, and the thing is, like, with bands and everybody gets there eventually. Like when you're a young hunter, you're like, oh my God, what are these things? And then you're like, oh my God, I got to have all of these things. And then you get past it and you're like, yeah, those are cool. They're a great bonus, but the memory itself of the hunt and the fact that we had a great time is now more important than the actual band itself.
Of course. I mean, that's and I still look back at those pictures.
I still look
back at the pictures from that hunt, and you had arranged the geese with the bands, and remember how you arranged them in a fan?
Pinwheel, yeah.
Pinwheel, yeah. That was so cool.
See, that's why I take way too many pictures of everybody shooting and
back
doing
in
everything
the day
all
when
the time.
Goose hunting first began. Resident goose hunting in
you
Wisconsin.
You had the blackberries.
Everybody wasn't doing it. Yes, we were taking pictures on our blackberries and our razors.
Like a snake in the middle.
More of the pictures were probably taken on those little Kodak disposable cameras.
Oh yeah,
we literally had those along with us.
Yep. Throw them
it's
out.
Not. Technology advances faster and faster as time
compresses. It's so unreal.
It's unreal. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
That we didn't have.
You basically have a more powerful computer in your hand on your phone right now than we ever had in high school at all.
Or college.
To do anything or college 100%. Or any time.
You can still play Oregon Trail on here.
That's great. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Dysentery. Isn't that what an Oregon Trail kills most people?
Right, yeah.
With
everybody died of dysentery.
Yeah.
Little Joel died of dysentery.
Thank God, because with the way I eat, I get dysentery quite a bit. I'm not dead yet.
It's all that
I'm
bobcat.
Just shaking her head in there. She's
it's
like,
all
oh,
that
really?
It happens.
Toilet topics already. How did you, Danielle?
Me.
End up, and it's so weird because you and I have hunted together for quite a while.
Yes, we have.
We've had some phenomenal hunts. Now you have hunted quite a bit with Mike.
Yes.
How did that start?
I do not remember how it started.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
It was at
you
one
were
the...
invited on a hunt.
Oh,
and
yes,
I
it was a
like,
hunt with
you're
you.
Bringing a girl.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
now.
It was
right?
with you.
And that's how it was.
Michael.
That's how
I'm
it was.
Just telling you.
And that
you
was
said that
back in the
clearly.
Day. Like,
I was bringing
this
women
is
to the hunt.
15 years ago or
this
something.
Was
I was like,
I
you're bringing
started.
A girl, really?
You said that to me?
And she
I don't
actually
remember you saying that to me.
Showed up and she rocked it out. And she actually hunted like a guy. Like, she didn't have her makeup on. She didn't like
it was
do all
belching,
the things.
Just being a dude,
and she was there to hunt.
I don't even know
and,
what that means.
You know, like she was there to hunt. She wasn't there to take pictures
she hunted, like,
and be
a guy.
Cool.
She was a bad shot.
Well,
yeah, right? I mean, that was a fun hunt, but that's the first time I saw a dog
Peaches
actually work.
Peaches.
Because
oh,
we
gosh.
Shot a goose and it
super
went
far,
far, far, far. And yes, Peaches is running down the hill and just stopping and
she's
turning at you,
dog.
Looking, and you're just
oh,
pointing.
Yeah. Peaches
I was
is
like,
legendary.
Are you serious?
No.
This
Peaches
is actually
is
happening?
Mango's got big shoes.
Yeah, but now we have Mango. Mango's in the studio. I'm very excited. There's no Bandit this week.
Big shoes.
But she is big. One, hold on. Hold that story. We got to go to break.
Ooh.
You're listening to Raising Wisco. Mike Keller from Foul Dogs Outfitters is here. Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. Stay tuned on your Civic Media station. We'll be right back.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris at the Munich Security Conference tells Ukrainian President Zelensky the U.S. will continue to stand by Ukraine in its war against Russia.
President Zelensky, as President Joe Biden and I have made clear, we will be with you for as long as it takes.
Alexei Navalny's spokeswoman confirms Russia's most prominent opposition leader is dead. Now what?
Right now, we don't have access to the body, and we don't know for sure where it is. And we demand Russian authorities immediately give Alexei's body to his family.
Navalny was serving a 3-decade prison sentence. Former President Trump and his companies have been ordered to pay more than $350 million for civil fraud.
A fine of $355 million for doing a perfect job.
In his ruling, Judge Arthur Engoron noted that defiance, saying of Trump and other defendants, their complete lack of remorse borders on pathological.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn, CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
We'll be right back.
how to get out of a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team trying to rebound after that four-game losing streak. In January, they won 7 out of 8 games and were ranked 6th in the nation. This week, they're 20th. After finally ending a four-game slump with that win over Ohio State, head coach Greg Gard has tried everything.
We'll get out of it. You know, we'll get back. We had a bad week. You know, I thought we played all right against Purdue. And there's like a few possessions back here or there. It's a bad half against Nebraska. But, you know, that's what that past week sucked. Yeah, and we got to play better. We'll play well. So, get back to playing well, playing how we know we can play, how we have played. You know? So that's the main thing. It's just continue to reinforce, remember who we were and who we have been, and you've been that a lot more than what you've been the past week.
That's the Wisconsin Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny skies today, high temps near 30 degrees. Winds will gust out of the west at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, still breezy, clear skies, 25. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday, breezy once again. For Monday, mostly sunny, 43.
Right now, it's 15.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month. And Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for Black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. Mike Keller is here from Foul Dogs Outfitters, bringing us into the break and talking about something we actually talk about on the show quite a bit.
We do.
How women in the outdoors is growing as fast. And Mike was saying how he was surprised that I was bringing a woman to a hunt 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just saying now he hunts.
It's crazy because our industry has swung so far. I actually take more female groups than I take male groups most of the time because girls love to kill stuff and catch stuff.
This is very true. I speak for all of us.
Great.
Almost all of us.
It's really awesome to see.
I think everybody, man, woman, or child, understands at a certain point the innate, prurient nature of bringing something from the field to the table, to be a provider for your family, to be a provider for yourself.
And as a guide, one of my favorite things is to see, like, guys that do this all the time, we kind of take it for granted. We're like, oh, another dead goose, another dead fish. Big deal. Let's take pictures, move on. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. You know, if it's epic.
But like all of my kid groups, every single fish is a whopper. Every single thing is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Almost all of my female, all female groups. It's cool because like I go hunting with guys and one guy gets a band and they're like, oh, that guy got a band. Girls get a band. They're like, oh my God, she got a band. It's so awesome.
You can hear us
because they
on the
cheer
road.
For each other. It's great to see the environment that the women have and camaraderie for each other. Guys, I don't think they have that like women do. Well, on a regular basis.
The last layup boat duck hunt with you was with...
Oh, so awesome.
It was great. It was...
Bluebill limit in 33 minutes?
Yeah, it was the group with the other two guys as well.
Okay,
so it was
that
like
one.
Three girls, three guys.
Yep.
It was awesome. Like they celebrated just as much as we did.
And it
once
was
we
really
got like
cool.
Past yeah. that awkward right. of like, hey, I just met you. We're going to be hunting
in a boat together.
Once you
woke them up, you're like, guys, let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's go shoot things. Yeah, and it was just the most fantastic where everybody was just cheering for everybody. It's so much fun to get out there and lay up boat duck hunts because you're a foot above that water.
You're
and
alone.
And they're just flying
That's
right at you.
That's the biggest thing is you're alone and you're so it's cool. you and the duck. There's yeah. no like, I shot that one guy or like, oh, let's all draw for bands because you're shooting out of your lane. Like it's you and the duck. And if you're hitting it, you're hitting it. And if you're missing it, you're missing it. And that's really... The coolest experience is like you sit up and that's layout hunting in the water in Lake Michigan or Green Bay with waves is not easy.
No,
nobody,
it can't be. You're
nobody,
oh my gosh.
Yep. Nobody cleans
it's kinda
up.
It's kind of like iguana hunting in Florida from a boat. The boat's moving and the tree's moving yep, at the same
exactly.
time. And you got to time it perfectly.
And on those perfect days, we get like great shooting when it's calm. But the problem is everything sticks out just like everything else. So the perfect days are never perfect either because the birds don't finish right in your face. So mm-hmm. a rough day is when they're in your face. You got to be able to shoot while you're moving. And everybody's like, I'm doing terrible. I'm doing terrible. And I've adopted this model. You're doing great because the average person shoots two or three boxes of shells for their six ducks. And they think it's horrible because they're used to shooting eight shots at four mallards and being done. But the simple fact is, if you're going to harvest an old squat in Lake Michigan, it's going to take a lot of shots.
A lot of shots. They don't fly like, so fast.
Did you get
so
an
fast.
Old squat?
I did not get a male old squat.
We have yet to get a Drake for dinner.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't established the nice long tail yet. One day, it will happen.
Oh, I'm
Danielle
going to happen.
I was
Danielle
so upset.
Collaterally killed a couple of old squat this year, though. She was aiming at the front bird and got the second or third one.
Yep. And a couple waves. That happened
and
a
it
lot.
Is, it is... And that's the other thing is like for the average field hunter, when you come out and shoot old squaws or golden eye or greater bluebill or whatever it is, they're going three times faster and they're not standing on a mojo hovering over it.
No, they're
starting
to
land.
Oh,
they're
yes.
either coming in or they're passing and they're going fast. And so you're going to miss. Don't feel bad about it. Just come on.
I
and
never
have fun.
Feel bad about missing. I just want to put it there. I was out in Wyoming a couple months ago, antelope hunting, and there was a Boone and Crockett antelope 50 yards in front of me on sticks, shot right over his back. He stood
oh,
up
no.
and walked off. And I ended up just shooting another a beautiful antelope, but very, very tiny. Let's just say it was very tender.
Oh,
the antelope
no.
I shot. It was very
I like
delicious.
Veal too.
And I have as much respect for it, but I missed a Booner right oh. in front of me. And
you
I'm actually a pretty decent rifle shot. So
one of my favorite things
but
about
But if you
ducks,
stop getting, you know, if you miss a lot because you're excited, and if you stop getting excited, that's what hunting is about.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement and the thrill.
Right.
You know?
And my favorite thing about ducks is I can't tell if I got a 10-year-old duck or a 1-year-old duck in front of me. They're just
well,
coming into
the
decoys
yeah.
and they're ready to get
mm-hmm.
killed.
And then
you know?
The
so I don't feel bad that I missed the Booner.
Yeah.
So talk to me for a minute, Mike. You know, the three of us in this room are unique in that we have in some way been able to turn our love and our passion into a part of our careers.
Mm-hmm.
That is a blessing like I cannot describe. Being able to participate in the outdoors, be on media in the outdoors, being on a huge station like Civic Media throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. I am thrilled by that.
And, oh, yes.
But it is extremely hard to make the decision in your life that you're going to try to have a career in the outdoor industry in some capacity. And Mike, you know, you were a hunter long before you were a guide. And how did you come to that realization in your life that you were going to literally give up everything in your life in order to become the person who takes people, shows people, teaches people, and become an outfitter? Because that is tough. That is a tough world to live in.
Faith, trust, and pixie dust, my friend. Like, literally, throw it out there and just go.
How did you end up? How did you end up? The decision came from fish.
Well, the ducks. I've always been a duck hunter forever. Like, since I was 8 years old, I've been killing ducks. And you get to the point where, well, and I had been taking my kids and their friends and other friends for a long time, and basically guiding for free, and enjoying watching kids and girls and women and men and people just go out and shoot ducks that were in my boat and not even pulling the trigger and not getting paid for it. So one day I was like, hey, I should get paid for this. And I started guiding duck hunting. And that's how that began. The fishing was a little different. The economy changed a little bit. Things happen. The segment that I was in with my career at the time kind of went away. I was doing lead abatement, and that's kind of went away a little bit. So it wasn't as lucrative, and I figured, hey, instead of having 10 employees and all the headaches, I'm going to buy a boat and take people fishing because I love it.
Stop for a minute. You just said, instead of having the headaches, I'm going to buy a boat.
Right. Right. Like, hindsight being 2020, I don't want 10 employees. I want a boat. No headaches. Sure.
Yeah.
Then, like, a motor. And, like, what is with insurance companies? How does your insurance go from $2,500 to $6,500 in a year with no warning?
Yep. Well, that's because you bought boats.
Right. Buy a boat.
Your boat.
It's a hole in the water where I throw my money.
And how do people get a hold of you if they want to hunt with you or fish with you?
It's super easy. I have a website, FowlDawgs, FowlDawgsLLC.com. If you're on there 3 times in the next 3 days, you'll see a lot of changes. We're actually revamping our entire website.
Oh,
so that is supposed to go live with tweaks over this weekend. And then social media, if you hashtag FowlDawgs, FowlDawgs, anywhere on any social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, you'll find me easy mm-hmm. enough. And you can always call or text 414-399-7302.
All right. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that some more. We'll give those numbers out again a little bit later in the show. But Danielle, I want to hear about, you know, you are no question not afraid to do anything that has ever been seen on any TikTok in the outdoors. You go to noodling.
Yes.
You do layout boat hunting. Take me through the experience when you're hunting with Mike out there and you're literally on Lake Michigan in a layout boat, which a layout boat, if you don't know, is flat to the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it draws what? 2-3 inches, 4 inches, Mike?
Probably 6 to 10.
Okay, so nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
And the top of the boat is right over the top of the water.
Correct? It is.
Yeah,
so take me what's going through your mind the first time you're out there doing that.
So the first time I went out there, it was absolutely gorgeous because I'm the person that just experiences everything like as a full. Like when we go out there to meet all the new people, it's fantastic because there's always somebody new in the groups that we put together. So it's seeing their excitement and learn what they want out of it is fantastic. But then driving out there still at night and you just look up and it's crystal clear sky and you see all these shooting stars as you're driving out there and just waiting.
You
to
were
put
super
stuff.
Lucky. There was a meteor shower that night and it was awesome.
So
they were
beautiful.
Everywhere. There was like probably 700 shooting stars we were setting up the That's morning cool. that
it
Danielle
was so
came
beautiful
out.
And then he starts, so the decoys are completely different. It's not the decoys you bring for shore hunting. It's not like you hook it on something and you just toss it out and they just go onto a circle. Like with these are all tied up in a row in a straight line, like it's just straight sure. as could
yeah,
be
I've
and you get like four
I mean, I've seen it before
yeah they're, you get like they're... 4 or 5 rows. When he goes out, he puts them all out there and he hooks all the weights to it and just drops down, and then he takes out the UFO. It looks exactly like a UFO and it has 2 slots in there. And then you have to get in, get out like fast. You have to be ready. You have to have your gun ready.
Why do you have to get in and get out of the UFO fast? Explain. I'm missing something.
So when you're out there and the waves are going, you have to crawl out of his boat. And it's like hip high for me. So you have to crawl over and get into a layout boat that's like 2 or 3 feet down. And you have to do it all quickly because if the UFO keeps clashing into the
When
boat,
you're saying UFO, are you talking about
the layout boat? Sorry, okay. Correct. Right. Yes, yep. Layout boat is the UFO. Okay. So when you're trying to crawl into layout boat, it's going to keep crashing against the boat. So it's going to be on... like not steady ground, so it's
how much of a chance the biggest is there of thing falling is falling in the lake
zero
this?
Because if you know what you're doing, like say I want you're gonna step over, you're gonna get in there quick, you're gonna turn, grab your guns, grab your ammo from somebody else, get into the other spot, do the same thing for the next person, get in the two spot layout boat
next to each other,
obviously
you're shooting guns, you're gonna be right next to each
other. So you're there's a nice little cubby in the middle that you can just put all your stuff there, your snacks. And then you
have time to snack while you're out there? Well, Danielle doesn't.
I
go
always
anywhere
snack.
Without snacks,
are you kidding me? I have an ammo bag and a snack bag. But then you just crawl in. You just crawl in there. You scoot all the way down. So it's you're not laying like you are in a blind where you're kind of elevated a little bit. Like
you're
you have to scoot down because if your head is up, like they're gonna notice things. So you have to scoot all the way down to where your head is
flush.
Yeah, flush. So you're just looking, and it's. You sometimes see the water if you're going up on a wave, but otherwise you just
see the sky.
Yeah, you're just looking and you see a couple of decoys and then the ducks start flying in. But you have to like shoot up and sit up and shoot right away.
And you're moving and they're flying past you. And
some days
it sounds incredibly
exciting. It is such a rush. It is such a rush. But then some days where it's flat and calm, your eyes are getting sunburned because the sun is just blaring on you. And then for the other days, you get where it's freaking cold and you have 5 foot swells and water is splashing over you and your Carhartt hat is all frozen and starts drooping down to one side because it's so
full. Those are the hunts that you get through.
Those
are
the ones that rock.
The most satisfying.
Those waves, I shot so many waves that day. It was so great.
Well, you're the best wave shooter in Southeast Wisconsin. I heard that.
Oh,
when we come back on Raised in Wisco, a little more with Mike Keller from Fowl Dogs LLC, his outfitter for ducks, layout boat hunting, fishing, salmon fishing. But Mike just got back from the East Coast where he did a whole bunch of different kinds of fishing and Oklahoma. We're going to talk about that. For Daniel Fairman, Joel Clayfish, this is Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media station. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
2024 is a leap year. It may just mean an extra day to some, but here's Bob Bonadura with the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium.
We orbit the sun in 365.25 days, meaning we have leap day February 29th every 4 years.
So our orbit around the sun isn't a perfect number of days. Bonadura says this was figured out for the first time 2,000 years ago.
I think of Julius Caesar back 2,000 years ago was the first calendar to have a leap day because our orbit is actually a little less than 365.25, it's 365.2422. The calendar got out of whack by 11 days, 1582. So imagine 1582, October 4th, the next day was October 15th.
A new calendar created in the 1700s moved the leap day to February. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco, Mike Keller's joining us from Fowl Dogs LLC. This guy, we're going to breach a subject. By the way, this is Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media station throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are, tune in to Civic Media for all of your Packers news. We've got fantastic shows like Busted Pencils, an education show. Just great shows. Anastasia Esther is our producer. She produces some of the other shows. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you that if you haven't given Civic Media Radio a chance, the great show Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman is now on all 13 Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin. So thank you so much for joining us. Email us with some feedback. We'd love to talk about
Facebook.
Your topics and Facebook.
Yep, we're on Facebook.
Join
Give us
a on
like.
Facebook. Raised in Wisco's got a Facebook page, which is growing. I see more and more comments and people chiming in. And we look at everything in the great outdoors of Wisconsin, from hunting to fishing, foraging, rock climbing, canoeing. You name it, Wisconsin is the greatest place in this country to do it. It's my opinion, and it's also a fact. So, Mike Keller is with us from Foul Dogs LLC. And, Mike, you were talking, we went into the break talking about layout boat hunting and the excitement of it, and, you know, talking about how you can book your trip with Foul Dogs. But you actually just got back. You actually took a little time off for yourself, which you haven't done in a very long time. So you got to fun hunt.
Yeah, once a year I go on a little walkabout. Went to Massachusetts this year and hunted Cape Cod, which is great. We did so well on that the last 2 years of fun hunting there that we're going to offer some hunts in Cape Cod next year.
Holy cow. Tell me about how you hunt in Cape Cod. Is that layout hunting on the ocean?
On the ocean. For eiders.
I want to do that.
Scoters.
Yeah, I saw those
the
eiders.
Old squaw, gosh, we don't. Beautiful. It's actually really wild because, like, we kill more old squaw here than we do in the ocean.
I believe it.
By tenfold. For whatever reason, they're like one here, one there, one here, one there. And here they're herded up.
Talk to me about eider. So I don't think most people know what an eider looks like.
It's a great big white, cool looking bird.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They're super cool. Arctic circle type bird, regular sea duck.
What was the bird that I saw pictures with you? It was a black duck.
Yep. We have black. There's scoters.
Scoters.
So there's three different versions of that. There's the ones that have like the toucan Sam face on
them.
Yeah,
right.
So those are surf scoters.
I mean, if you saw them without their webbed feet, you'd think they belong in some exotic jungle.
Oh, absolutely. Right, yep.
And then you have the surfs. Those are the surfs. And then you have the white wings, which are big. They're like eider size. They're all black with white wing patches and a white little eye patch. And then the common scoter, which is real small, or the black scoter, same name, different, same bird, different name. They're a little smaller, and they have orange, like a looks like a piece of corn right on their bill.
Right, their bills are
tinier. Super cool. They're just the scoter species as a whole is just a super cool bird, and then we kill the brants and the black ducks, and like we get black ducks here in the field.
Yeah.
We don't get black ducks here in the field. Not like black ducks. Ours are hybrid mallard, you know.
I don't
most
know.
Of
I
them.
Got a pretty I got a pretty one mounted.
If there's any white on their wing at all, there's gonna be a hybrid mallard. And the difference is like if you take my hybrid mallard black duck that I have here that's mounted, and I park it next to my mounted East Coast black duck, that East Coast black duck is like 25% bigger.
Wow, so that's interesting.
It's bigger, it's darker. It has no white anywhere on any of the wings.
It's probably got more pure genetics,
I'm guessing.
It's
just a pure black duck instead of a hybrid.
Is that because there aren't as many mallards around to mate with?
No, because of
what's going on?
There's not as many mallards around to beat out the black ducks there.
Okay.
You know, like it's mostly black ducks on the East Coast.
So how do all these taste? What one's the best tasting? Any of them compared to speckle bellies?
Let's just say sea duck is not as good as speckle belly.
Oh.
You gotta do a lot
nothing
of work.
Nothing is as good like, as a speckle
right,
belly
goose. Exactly.
So good. I compare everything
but
to
like,
that.
Nothing like, tastes like a speckle
Joel
belly goose.
Joel would be really good at making sea ducks because he likes the prep work that's involved. He's okay with 72 hours and 36 hour prep times before it's cooked. For me, I'm like, if I can't clean it and throw it right on the grill, it's not always the best thing for me. They're pretty
gamey.
Gamey?
Like
nasty.
Liver.
Oh,
like if you like a liver and onions type flavor, you're really going to like sea ducks.
It just sounds horrible.
I like it.
The phrase you are what you eat goes a long way. And unfortunately, they eat oysters and clams and don't taste like oysters and clams. Because if they did, I would eat all of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know,
oysters and clams.
They'd be extinct if they tasted like oysters.
Well, it sounds like you had a, did you do
that? That was great. And then went to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
After that, did a lot of fishing with my buddy, Brian Lee Baker. If you're going to go to Oklahoma, go check out Brian Lee Baker. Spoonbill fishing, crappie fishing, whatever it is down there, catfishing, running noodles or jugs or whatever it is. He's a great, great guy. And crane guide, probably the best crane guide in the country. Easily, hands down. Crane wreckers, everybody knows who he is. Really good friend of mine. Had a great, great little vacation with him. We just kind of, two guides that are done working.
Yeah, that's, you know, that sounds nice. But the work has probably already started for you for this year.
Right, and that's it. We're getting ready for fishing season, which is the big one.
I just booked the
duck season's yesterday. Fun, and it's great, but it's 60 days.
Yep.
Fishing for sure. Season is 200 days long, and so I have 200 appointments that I need to get on the books for the next 200 days, and that's the exciting part. I mean, and Lake Michigan is a great resource for fish.
Well, it's been awesome to have you on the show. Danielle? Yes.
Joel?
Our next show is going to be you and me out at Milford Hills for a women's sporting event. Very excited about that. Make sure you tune in next week. Folks, thanks for listening on your Civic Media station. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
Have a good night.
Home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Febreze Fabric Spray.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Vice President Harris is attending the Munich Security Conference. So is Ukraine's president.
At the annual security conference in Munich, Vice President Harris assured Ukrainian President Zelensky of continuous backing in the fight against Russia. Zelensky praised the U.S. support so far, and especially the decision to freeze Russian assets. With the current halt of Washington's aid in mind, he urged world leaders not to abandon Ukraine. Anna Noriskevich, CBS News. Munich.
Emergency aid for Ukraine remains held up in Congress. Israel is pressing ahead with its plans to launch a major military assault on the Gazan city of Rafah. CBS's Holly Williams reports from Ramallah in the Israeli-occupied West Bank.
Israel's defense minister said yesterday that the country's military is, quote, thoroughly planning for operations in Rafah in southern Gaza. That's after President Biden reiterated a warning to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu against launching an offensive in Rafah without a credible plan to protect civilians.
More than a million Palestinian civilians have been sheltering in Rafah to escape the fighting in other parts of Gaza. Heavy rain is set to clobber parts of California and the Pacific Northwest today. The atmospheric river storms are threatening to bring damaging winds and more flooding and mudslides in some already saturated areas. Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass has more.
Heavy rain, especially in the northern part of California, 5 to 8 inches over the next several days. Flood watches are in effect right through Wednesday, including Southern California, Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, millions in the Northeast remain under winter weather alerts as a storm moving over that region could leave several inches of snow in some areas. He's not running. After months of speculation,